Somehow this morning I thought maybe I'd exhort you just a little bit. I hope that the things that I say to you are not offensive. The Bible said in many things we offend all, and blessed is he that is not offended in me. Whereas David of old said, my heart is fixed, and evil tidings shall not trouble me, and nothing shall offend me. So I hope that I'm not offensive. I try to be gentle like a mother or as a parent ought to be, as a father. The Bible said the minister should be gentle, patient. He should be apt to teach. He should have the wisdom and understanding that God gives. And he shouldn't be ugly, you know, toward the people. But at the same time, he does have a job to do, to rebuke, to reprove, to exhort, that you might be sound in the faith. And when things get to where they are so troublesome, to the extent that he doesn't know exactly how to handle them, he is supposed to bring it before the church. That is to say, when you have a brother that does wrong or a sister that does wrong, and you keep talking with them and trying to exhort them, and they're not going to do right. They're just going to be a troublemaker. Or as it has been said, one bad apple will spoil the whole barrel. The Bible said, purge out the old leaven, be a new lump. Finally, you have to take somebody and go to that person to establish it in the mouth of two or three witnesses that they are arrogant and that they're not going to listen. And then after that, when the brother continues to walk disorderly and the sister walks disorderly, whereas the Bible said, withdraw thyself from every brother or sister, that is, that walks disorderly. So then finally, when they won't hear those one or two, then you are to bring it before the church. And that's why sometimes I just speak openly and I speak outwardly concerning something that I have dealt with maybe for X amount of months. I just speak it so that everybody will know that it's being done and why it is being done. And so the Bible said bring it before the church, which we do that, and especially before our brotherhood down here. And then the Bible says that if he will not hear the church, then let him be unto you as a heathen and a publican. Just disfellowship him and turn away from him. I know a lot of people, you know, they say, well, Brother Pike, that poor brother, he's over there, and they boycotted him, and they won't love him, and God just brought tears to my eyes, and I just cried in my heart, and I just had to go over and say something to him. Well, I'll be honest with you. It wasn't God crying in your heart, and it wasn't tears from God. It was Esau tears. And you went over to walk with him because you're like him. Two, if they walk together, they have to be agreed. Two cannot walk together lest they be agreed. And I know a lot of people say, well, this precious brother and sister, they're part of us. No, they're not part of us. No matter what kind of pity you have, they're not part of us. It's like Samuel said concerning Saul, Lord, do thus and thus. He said, Samuel, get up off of your face. He said, I'm through with Saul. I've rejected Saul. He rejected my word. Get up off of your face. See, and so these people that have gone out like that, they're not of us. The Bible said if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest. That is, that everybody might see that they were not of us. So when you go around with these things as to pity, it's because you're in the same condition. So don't do that. Don't do that. If you can fellowship with your relatives all the time and your friends all the time, and you know that they're not living for God, and it just warms your heart just to get over there where they're at, it's because you are part of them. You're not born again. See, when you're born again, it's not the love for your relatives. It is the love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's your family. That's where you want to be. And if you had the spirit of the family of Christ, that's what you would do. You would stay with the family of Christ, and you would forsake everybody else, even to the extent as Abraham, who laid his son on the altar to prove his love for God and the God family above that of his own natural son. So we need to love our relatives. We love everybody. Help them. Try to do something for them. But folks, we need to, if we're going to be born again, we need to get straight with God. Because I'm telling you, when you do those things, You're not born again when you just have to run to and fro all the time. People who love one another are going to be found together. If you love your wife, you'll find yourself taking up time around your wife. And if you love God, you'll do the same thing. Someone would say, well, there's your wife. There's one of your relatives. Yeah, I know, but I don't go to see her. She visits with me. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, so if your relatives come to visit with you, that's fine. No problem. Sometimes they can be problems. Lot was problems to Abraham, but anyway, they were together. All right, let's talk for just a few minutes. In the 17th chapter of the book of St. Luke, let's read together. In the 20th verse, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, right here, I want you to notice that the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. Here in St. Luke, we're told that the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. Just a day or two ago, we were preaching as to the audience, and we were speaking of the power of life and death being in the tongue. We brought out quite a number of things. A lot of people don't realize that the power of life and death is in the tongues. Now here we have another subject, and this subject is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. You know, we're told to pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so then we go our way and we say, now what we're going to do, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is what we say. And sure enough, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what he told us to do. But being without understanding as to the kingdom of God and being without understanding as to the things of God, then we misconstrue things in our mind, and as a result of the misconstruing, we never lay anything to the line for God. We never really find out what's going on or what things are all about. We spend so much of our time as a people involved in the things of the world. You know, people see something and say, well, I don't want to be involved in it. I'm not going to get involved in it. If it's to help somebody, a lot of times they'll do that. But yet they're always involved in something in the world, always boggled down in the things of the world. And it seems like more and more they add to those things that boggle them down, and they become a prisoner of circumstances. Well, that is to say, they find themselves in this web that Satan has spun. I've referred to this a number of times. You know, Satan spins a web. And this web glitters with the dewdrops of the morning. When the sun strikes it, it's so beautiful, so brilliant, and it's so enticing. And a lot of times people get caught in this web. They get caught in the web as to one thing or another. Maybe it's passions. They get overindulging in passions. Or they get a gullible desire for things of this world, and they overindulge. Or they get caught in that they want something so bad that they can't live according to the average individual in life. They have to borrow, always borrowing. And the Bible teaches that if you borrow, then you are servant to the lender. And then when you get the people's money, especially those in the upper echelon, when you get their money, then after that, you're their subject. And you can be sure that you're not going to get away with anything. They've got you under the guns, as we say, in the world, and they're going to hold the guns on you until you do exactly what they say, and especially as long as you've got their money. See, the man that is so wealthy in the world, he knows that money is more than just to buy things with. He's already bought all that he can afford. You know, as to use, He's already bought all that. He's got all those things. Everything that heart can desire, he's got that. And he's learned that money is more than that. That money is power. You know, so he puts out his money for power, to get control. And the people that have huge industries, great businesses, these people control the lives of people. As a matter of fact, yesterday, Brother Bill, someone was talking about Pete, the cousin that has the, our cousin that has the nurseries, rated as the biggest independent nursery in the world. And now I understand that he's bought some more nurseries, and they say that something happened as to his favoritism, and some of the others had to go out of business, the big nurseries, which gave him even the more. But he was saying not too long ago to some of our fellas, they do some work for him. He said, I've been offered maybe $50 million, or said he wouldn't take, or maybe $70 million. I don't know, $50 million, whatever it is, and maybe worth $70 million. I don't know what it is. But he said, I wouldn't take $70 million, I believe was the way they told me. Said, because I have people working for me. The last time he had about 1,300 people at that time, and that was quite a while back. He said, I have people, and I'm responsible for those people. See, for them to have jobs, that is, it gives Pete power over their lives. People with big industries, they have power over people's lives. You would be shocked to know how much power. I was told yesterday also during the conversation that I believe it's General Motors, that they have enough land. They are in business enough across the world that they can have their own nation. They have enough power that they can have their own nation. They can be an independent nation if they want it to be an independent nation. See, they've got that much power because of the money that you spent with them. That's shocking, but that's the web of Satan. See, so you fall into the web, and when you get into the web, you are their subject. Some people are a slave to tribute. They have a get up in the morning on Monday. They go to work, maybe 8 o'clock or whatever. They work all week. They get off on Friday. They lay things down. Some even work through Saturday because they're caught in the web of the world. They're in that web. You can start to Atlanta or some big place. We travel all over the world, and maybe in the morning you start to the city, and there is such a conglomeration of people, so many hundreds and millions of people. And here these people are all going in the same direction to this extent, headed for the city, and they're headed for those jobs. They're enslaved by that. They are tributes of slavery as to customs and money, and all to feed the belly. In that the Bible said all of the labor is for the mouth and for the belly, because the belly craves it of you. I know we would say, no, no, brother, that's arrogance. See, when you talk like that, that's wrong. But it's not. That's what the Bible says. You say, but this isn't what we are taught in school and college. I know that. But nevertheless, that's what the Bible says. And God was the one that made the man that made the college. It was God that made the man that made the school. It was God that made the man that has the industry. So see, in the beginning was the Word, God. And so then when we take something as an absolute, we have to go back to the Bible. We can't go through this wilderness of philosophers and people that are giving their opinion, and orators and money men and all kind of educators. We can't do that. We have to have one root. There's just one root to this tree. And that's God Almighty, the Spirit of Life. And the proof of that is that the big man dies and the little man dies. The educational one dies and the ignorant man dies. The woman dies and the child dies. The boy dies and the man dies. See, which proves that somewhere there's something bigger than you and I. So then we have to understand. See, that the Word of God is the root to all forms of matter, whatever it might be. And we use the term sometimes mind over matter. And I say this so often. I believe that mind is over matter. And I believe as to what scientists say as to mind over matter. But I do not believe in the mind that they project. For the mind that they project over matter is the human mind and the educational abilities. It reminds me of the old king when he was down in Babylon. And he had built this great empire. God had suffered it to be because it was going to be a move of God where Daniel and the Hebrew children, the different ones, were going to be down there. So God let this thing go on. See, it reminds me of him when he walked around and he looked at the walls and he said, look at what I have made. Look at what my hands have gotten me. Look at all these great things. And all of a sudden, there came, as we say, as it was with one of the handwriting on the wall, all of a sudden something began to happen, and God brought to pass the vision of the great mighty man Daniel, the spiritual man. See, and he cut him asunder, drove him out into the world to be with the beast. And it was said, let seven times pass over him. And he was like a wild man. See, he took it to himself to believe that his mind was over the matter, that he was the controlling factor within the kingdom, that he was the one that was Lord there. And all of a sudden, his mind was gone. His dignity was gone. Being a celebrity, he was a celebrity no more. He was treated like the common beast. He was out in the weather. His fingernail grew out like claws, and his hair grew out like feathers. You know, I've made the statement as of recent. You see, a lot of these hippies and a lot of these people going around from place to place, their hair has grown out like feathers. And see, some of them, I can't hardly believe it when I look and see the fingernails of some of them. Some of them's fingernails, I'd be afraid to even try to tell you how long. But they look to me like they're 2 or 3 inches. I say, no, no, Brother Pa, I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. I've looked at them, it's unreal. And some of them, of course, look like the average. Ones of them done got out there about 1/2 inch. And I look and I think, my God, they've lost their mind. That's what's happened to them. Like the Bible said, they've been driven out of the presence of God. They don't have any understanding anymore. They're like the ostrich. They run and stick their head in the sand thinking everything's all right when everything is chaos around them. See, and they go on with these crazy doing these wild things. It's unreal. I see people doing all these things. And I think, my God, this can't be. These are human beings. These are intelligent people. They go to these ball games and they go to the after the sports and the things of the world and they scream like wild animals. Go devils, blue devils and red devils and dogs. Go dogs. You know, and they come down the highway like they do out here. And you can't hardly get in the highway. It is such a conglomeration of a mess. What is it? The Bible said the web of Satan, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. They've already been caught in that web and they can't get their mind straight anymore. The Bible said they shall not see when good cometh. Satan hath blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they cannot see anymore. And if you say anything about these things and you rise up against these things, why, people get so indignant they're ready to put you in jail or kill you or do anything. They're slapped out of their human reasoning. Buying on credit. Always stealing, manipulating, cheating. Always doing the things that's not convenient. Laughing and talking and joking. Filthy minds. Just overrun with iniquity. But nevertheless, we see this thing and then we, as we say, it's mind over matter. It's their mind. We say their mind over matter. No, it's not really their mind. It's the devil's mind. See, the devil is the prince of this world. And Satan, Lucifer, he is the one that's over the things of this world. And he's got control of this world. And the Bible says that he loves or savors the things that be of the flesh. And because you are his subject, the Bible said, having never been born again, that you are taken into captivity at his will. Anytime he desires to do something or anything that he wants to do, then he just spins a little web around your mind. You're his subject and he talks to you and you don't think it over. You just go right after it. Work all week planning to go to these kind of things, to drunken parties, to drink, to kill, to steal, to frolic, to commit whoredom and adultery. All these things, you run to these banqueting, all these kind of things. See, because you're caught in the web of Satan. You're caught in the web of Satan. That is the kingdom of Satan. That is the kingdom of Satan. It's visible. You can see it. It's a visibility. You can see it. It's a tangible substance. You can get a hold of it. And money answers through all things. We're living in a day when you can get money. You can get money. All you got to do is bump a car and put in a suit and you got money. You know, and then if they bump your car, well, your insurance has to give them money. And it's just money everywhere. People have gone crazy after money. And Money, they make so much money. So much money. The average individual makes so much money. They make so much money. The average individual makes so much money until they're rich. The average individual, not the rich man, the average individual. Somebody says, well, I don't see much of my riches. That's because you squander. You're like the prodigal, you know. You'd rather live in the hog pen and squander than to have some kind of system. And another thing is, God has allowed IRS and some of these other things to take your money. Because you don't give to God, you're not concerned about God, you're not going to share with God. And the Bible says you make much. He didn't say you make little. He said you make much, and then you bring it home, and I blow upon it, and it comes to little. Because you've let my house lay waste, and every man's run to his own house. He's done his own thing. He's turned to his own quarter for his own gain. And he's let the house of the Lord lay waste. And because of that, he said, you bring much home, and I blow upon it. Your bags has got holes in it. You bring much home, you make much, I blow upon it, it comes to little. And then the man right over next door to you, he doesn't make as much as you do, but he trusts his God, and God magnifies his substance and magnifies him. And like the fishes in the loaf, God magnifies those things. And it's more than enough. And he keeps a good name. And he's able to go and able to do these things because God said to him, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. When you bring your tithe and offerings or you support the house of God, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. And that if you'll confess your sins and forsake your sins, that whatsoever you do shall prosper. And I say this as I say it so often. I will make you to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth fruit in its season, its leaves doth not wither. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, who was rich. And I will give you the desires of your heart if you will delight yourself in me. And the Bible teaches, I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. I'll rebuke the devourer. He'll not destroy the fruits of your ground. Folks, this is real plain. This is real plain. Faith in this word is a shield that quenches all the fire darts of the wicked. And it keeps you out of the web of Satan, which is the kingdoms of this world. For the Bible said Satan is the prince of this world. He takes people into captivity at his will. See, this is his kingdom. He saves the things that be of the flesh. He told Jesus on the mountain, he said, all of this is delivered into my hands. He could have said, I stole it from Adam, but he didn't. All of this is delivered into my hands to give to whomsoever I will. And if you'll worship me, I'll give it to you. That is, if you'll join up with my league, if you'll get into my teams and my games and my societies and my way of life, then you can be part of this thing of iniquity, and you can have a prosperity. Whereas there is a prosperity, the Bible said to get riches deceitfully, which means you can get riches, manipulate, do whatever you want to, cheat, steal, to get riches deceitfully, you'll be cut off in the midst of your days, and the wicked shall not live their days half out, and the Bible said in the end you'll be a fool. But the Bible said, God giveth thee the power to get wealth. And God's blessing makes rich and adds no sorrow. So then we're not caught in the web of Satan because we're children of God. See, we don't believe in mind over matter as to the educational system of the old tree of knowledge through which Satan got into mankind to rule the world. His mind over matter. I believe in the mind of Christ over matter. It was God's mind that spoke matter into existence. It is God's mind that can change the form of matter. It was God's mind that when the form of matter as to a hand was withered up, that God touched it and the mind over matter changed it and made it whole again. It is God's mind. That is why the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery just to believe until he becomes equal with God. For the Bible said, every man that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. And the Bible said, God hath perfected forever or made perfect them that are sanctified, and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. So then we find that the kingdom of God It does not come by observation. It is the kingdom of Satan that is by observation. You look and you see these things, and yet Solomon said all is vanity, vanity and vexation of the spirit. All of these things. But the kingdom of God is within you. It is a spiritual kingdom. It is something that you cannot see with your natural eyes. It is something that you see with your spiritual eyes. You comprehend the heights, and you comprehend the width, and you comprehend the depths, and you comprehend the length of this great, wonderful, spiritual kingdom of God. So then we pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God is trying to swallow up this world and do away with the system of this world and bring his system. And the Bible said in the day of his regime, as in the restoration or the millennium, that nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. And there will be peace. He that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. For Jesus said, I am the Prince of Peace. So we find that the kingdom of God, Father, thy kingdom come. We say, when? When will this kingdom come? His kingdom has already come. For the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and men pressed their way into it. And Jesus said to a man one time when he answered him discreetly, he said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Well, that is to say, we believe with the heart unto the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, and confession with the mouth is made unto salvation as to this thing coming within us. So within you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is not by observation. It is on the inside of you. It is within you. What then is the kingdom of God? It is the Spirit of Christ. For the fullness of God, the eternal Father, is within Christ. Or that is to say, God will never again do anything outside of the blood realm. Everything will have to be within the radius of the blood. Everything within the confines of his son's teachings and his son's life and his son's spirit. So then the Spirit of Christ in you is that hope of glory. Paul said this heavenly treasure that you have on the inside of you. Heavenly treasure, he says, that you have. For now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. This understanding, this light most precious. So then, I wish we had plenty of time to elaborate on this morning. If we had not talked so much previously, we would say more. But just trying to get over a few thoughts here. Remember that this kingdom of God, this kingdom of God, it is within you. This kingdom of God, it is within you. We're not just some people that go about believing and saying, you know, we believe and that's all there is to it. There really isn't anything anywhere. We don't have anything and we don't know anything, but we just believe. That's not the way it is at all. The Bible said when Jesus healed, the apostles healed, it said they preached the gospel, they prayed for the sick, and the power of God was present to heal. And the Bible said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, then you shall receive power, even to be witnesses for me. As the Bible said, first in Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So then, I have something. I have heavenly treasure. I actually have God living on the inside of me. The Bible said, and God shall dwell in you because you're God's temple. He shall walk in you. And his life shall be made manifest in your mortal flesh. Whereas the Bible teaches, Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live with the Son of God. And that is, this life is made manifest in my mortal body. And if the Spirit be in you, that raised up Christ from the dead, he shall by his Spirit quicken your mortal body. I feel the verbal inspiration of it. I feel the quickening of it. This same Spirit that quickened Jesus, that raised up Jesus from the dead. So I have the Spirit on the inside of me. It's not something I'm going to try to obtain into. I'm not going to try to become a son of God. I'm already a son of God. The Bible said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God? I'm not trying to overcome death. I've already overcome death. For the Bible said, you've already passed from death unto life. And I already have the Lord. I'm not trying to get perfect in the sight of God as to the things that I do, even though the Bible tells me to go on to be perfect, and that I am wrestling and working with this body to make it conform to the inner perfection that's already there by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. I already have the infilling of the Holy Ghost as to eternal life. And I can never die. because I've passed from death unto life. I have already overcome sin and the tempter. Because the Bible said, and Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Sin and sickness, poverty, oppression, all these kind of things. Evil, concupiscence, all this that we speak of concerning the Bible. See, I've already passed from death unto life. I already have eternal life. I already have passed from sin. For the Bible said, he that is born of God, he cannot sin. I tell you so often, it does not say he may not sin. It says he cannot sin. Because the seed of God, even Christ, that hope of glory, remaineth within him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. To be able to sin, he would have to become unborn. And he'd have to go back to the same family that he died out to. When he died to sin. One time he died to sin. And we're to consider ourselves dead indeed to sin and the things of the world and to the flesh. We're not in the flesh anymore. The Bible says, if, that is, we are dead by the body of Christ Jesus or Calvary, dead to the curse. And if we are dead to the curse, then we're dead to sickness, we're dead to sin. And the Bible tells us that we are not in the flesh. We are not in the flesh. God hath chosen us out of the flesh and hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restitution of all things. And since our body is dead, our spirit went back to God who gave it, and our body is now dead, planted in a watery grave in the lovely name of Jesus, and we're now dead with him, having been crucified with him. And so then in life we live with him. Well, that is to say, Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I am delivered from the body of this death. For he that knew no sin was made my sin as a human body, to be made a body of sin, that he might make an end of sin, to do away with sin. And the angel said to Daniel, Messiah shall come and make an end of sin. So then to do away with sin, this sin is gone, it's taken away. My sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. Have you ever thought about how far darkness is from dawn? That darkness and light hath no fellowship. The separation, how far that is? That they can never come together? Just as a statement. So then we find out that we cannot sin. We cannot sin because we are free from sin. Why is that? Because we have eternal life. We have the Spirit of Christ on the inside. We have the kingdom of God on the inside. By spiritual observation, we have seen this great kingdom come. That kingdom has been since the days of Calvary. And men preach the kingdom of God. And men press their way into the kingdom of God. And by faith, they're translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. So then we find we press against the body. The body's now dead. I'm free from the body of this death, which is the flesh. I cannot walk in the flesh. You're not in the flesh. How can I be in the flesh? For the rending of the veil was the separation of the body and the spirit at Calvary. And the spirit went back to God who gave it. And it was sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said, grieve not that spirit that's sealed by the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve it. See, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, that is. Don't grieve that spirit because you're now one with the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve it. Don't do the things that grieve it. And the Bible said, abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul. Stay away from those things. Go after spiritual things. Have spiritual conversations. Have spiritual understanding. Let your conversation be in heaven. Your treasures are in heaven, so that your heart should be in heaven. So then go after that, because you're not in the body anymore. The body is dead because of sin. I was elaborating a little bit yesterday to some of them concerning the body. And I wish we had more time to elaborate on it today, because you really have a need for that. But nevertheless, as your minister, I want you to remember that you're not in the body. When you say, I am bone and flesh of my relatives, you don't understand what you're saying. Jesus told some men one time when they want to call fire down out of heaven, said, you don't know what kind of spirit you're of. See, you don't understand what you're saying. You're denying your new birth. Because to sin, you've got to go back into that. It's impossible for you to do that. The Bible speaks of sin. Paul said, within my flesh, the body, there dwelleth no good thing. That body is dead and that body is gone. There's no possible way that that body could ever sin. And in the spirit, You cannot sin because you've already passed into heaven. You're in the Spirit of God. And there is no sin within you as to the inner man. And the Bible said, he that is born of God is pertaining to the inner man. He keeps himself, and the evil one touched him not. So you're without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. God has secured you forever. Free from the body of that death of evil. For in Adam all die as to the body. But in Christ all is made alive, even the second man, the quickening spirit. So as we have borne the image of the earthly as to the tabernacle of the wilderness, which is the body of that intellectual wandering of ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always being bit by the serpents of the demon spirits that prey off of mankind. See, we're free from that now. And as we've borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly, which is the body of Jesus Christ. Even as we've borne Adam's unto death, we bear Christ Jesus' unto life. So then I'm bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh. And this is now the temple of God. And my body is the temple of God. And God isn't against my body. And all these things come as the judgment and chastisement afflictions. See, Satan is trying to destroy that body. He's trying to destroy it by perverting what God is doing, because God's judgment is upon the infiltration in your body, because your body is his temple. He's trying to redeem that body. But the devil is pointing out all these things that's coming upon you because God is bad. God's judgment is upon you. All these things are upon you, yet Jesus gave his blood so that you wouldn't be sick, so that you wouldn't be oppressed, so that you wouldn't be in poverty. All you have to do is believe in his deliverance, that the curse is now gone. At Calvary, that's the end of it. We preached that to you for numbers of years. See, you're not under the curse. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, and Jesus hung upon a tree first. So I'm free from the curse. And he's the first fruits of them that slept, the firstborn among many brethren. I'm free from that now, and I am a Christian. I am eternally alive. I'm eternally free. I'm eternally free. And I tell you over and over that God has sent me to tell you that. Because I tell you, I say, folks, the Lord sent me to tell you that. That's why I'm a minister. That you're free. You're free from every blemish. You're free from every evil. You're free from every oppression. You're free from poverty. You're free from sickness. You're free from sin. You're free from death. Because Jesus made an end of sin. And Jesus destroyed him, Satan, that had power over death. He said, I beheld him as lightning fall from heaven. And he destroyed the works of the devil. The Bible said he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, as sickness, poverty, heartache, sorrows, and the things he caused when man fell from the garden. See, and he's done away with them. The curse is no more. You are completely free from them simply by believing what I'm telling you. By believing what I tell you. To believe on him is to be completely free. And folks, there's not one thing that you can do or I can do or anybody else can do to work your way unto it. And when we work these works toward perfection as to our bodily conformity, we're simply trying to get in shape to where God can use us more as to bodily surrender, as the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. But I say again, it has nothing to do with your salvation, not anything. You are saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. And when it was asked, what must we do to work the works of Christ? He said that was finished from the foundation of the world. This is the works of Christ. Even I, Jesus, believe on me. All right, let's stand together. I feel just a little pressure this morning because I know you want to go. Some of you need to go. And yet many of you listen so very, very carefully and so diligently because you're hungering and thirsting after those things that makes for the spiritual man. So today, these few little thoughts, take them and remember the kingdom of God is here. Press your way into it as to your spiritual inner man against the outer man. Press, believe, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Endure hardness like a good soldier. Equip yourselves with a mind to suffer as to submit to the things of God. So then in doing these things, when we ask you to do these things, then remember what a great, mighty people that you are. And that it's our job to go into all the world and tell the people the glad tidings of great joy of the risen Savior, having been delivered for our offenses, and now he hath been raised again for our justification. And he appeared on the hillside. The angel said, peace on earth and goodwill toward man. So we know now the will of God, as we preached the other night. The will of God is peace on earth, goodwill toward man. The will of God Jesus said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book as is written of me, O God, to do thy will." And all he ever did was go about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And blessing and helping, that was the will of the Father. He came to do the will of the Father. So we know what the Father's like. I said this the other day. You know, concerning issues in the world, always stringing a net, swallowing a camel, are they always ever learning and never understanding. And they have this little issue over abortion, which has great spiritual significance at this time of killing out the man child. But nevertheless, the question is there, and the harassment from one to another, and one says it's this way, and another says it's that way, and they're fighting all the time. But nevertheless, in this, in the scripture, back to the root of the matter, as to the absolute, to know what's right and what's not right, to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways that he might direct our path in the matter, is very obvious as to what the situation is. When they say no life before birth, and that it's not murder, and they're not taking a life. See, this shows that those people are ignorant. They don't understand. Paul said, "I would not have you ignorant." But they are ignorant. They don't understand. As I was telling somebody recently, it's very evident that life is with the child. If life is not with the child, how could the Bible tell us that the children wrestled with each other in the womb? The Bible said, as Esau and Jacob, they literally wrestled with each other to the extent that one prevailed over the other and took the birthright as the secondborn took it from the firstborn. As to the breach, when the little hand had a ribbon put around it. How can they say that there's no life before birth when the Bible says that John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb? And the babe actually leaped in the womb. There was life. See, there was life. How can they ever learn and never come to the knowledge of the truth? Because they don't acknowledge the Word, which is God. To acknowledge God in all of your ways, he tells you, he explains to you. He makes you to understand. Then there's no error to it. So then we see that the world is in a terrible condition because they will not allow the Lord to direct their path. Let's sing a little chorus together. I'm going to let you go in just a little bit. It's our pleasure for you to come here and be with us. And our little prelude, we don't mean to take up so much time as to talk to you before we minister from the scriptures. But it seems like that there's something that the Lord is trying to do to get you to understand. He loves you. I might not love you. In my heart, I feel I do. As far as I know, I love you with all my heart. But I might not love you. That could be questionable. You might not love me. But folks, it's not a question as to whether God loves you or not. As the child known by his doings, the things that God done for you proves his love. When he let his blood run out his veins and him a young man, he did that for you. And that proves his love for you. Sister Dale and him sings, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." He loves you. He wants you. You belong to him. He's trying to lead you and teach you and protect you. He doesn't want you to be killed. He doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want terrors to fill your heart of fear and frustration, anxieties. He doesn't want you in poverty and your little ones doing without and your wives going through these excruciating things, even as to bring little children into the world. You're not under the curse anymore. The women are not under the curse anymore. When the curse came as to bring forth children in sorrow, you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. Even down in Egypt, the Bible said they delivered quickly. And there was no struggling. And the little ones were not cursed because he had not cursed the fruit of the womb. See, we're in faith now. Faith to have the desires of our heart. To have the desires of heart so that you don't have to go through the pain and misery of your children, whether bringing them into the world or whether watching after them while they're in the world. See, not being afraid every time you go out somewhere to drive your car, take off in a plane or whatever, afraid it's going to crash, afraid something's going to happen to it. You don't have to be like that because you got faith and he loves you. And he said, "I'll give my angels charge concerning you and they'll watch over you and they'll bear you up in all your ways. Lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone." He loves you. He wants you to have the fullness of life. Fullness, just to be at peace, to be happy, to have confidence, and to realize that you are in heaven. That you are in heaven. The earth is behind you. The body's behind you. Sin is behind you. Problems are behind you. And you're in a state of paradise and rest and peace. Perfect peace. If you believe, always, and keep your mind stayed on Christ Jesus. And you can take this glad tidings of great joy to all the world by sharing. All right, let's sing together, can we? Sitting together in heavenly places. It grows sweeter each day. Grows sweeter each day. This love grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter each day. Can you sing that with me now? It grows sweeter each day, grows sweeter each day. My love grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter each day. When I think of that song, growing sweeter each day, this is the song I think about, is everybody ought to know that that love is sweeter each day. Oh, that is, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. While we sing this together, you're welcome to come to the altar. You know, our little children here are real phenomenal. Little Missy, she comes down to the altar with the regularity, about the first one to get to the altar. And her little brother the other day, he's about 8 years old. And he came down to the publishing room and he was just going to do something for us. And he stood there for a few minutes and he got started about the presidents. And from the beginning of our government here, he picked up the presidents. And he named every one of them. And as he would name one, he told what date that they came into office. And he told what date they went out of office. And went down the line until he named every one of them. This little old school here where they don't learn nothing. That's what the 8-year-old done. Let's give the Lord a hand. Serving God is good. Somebody took a little time with him, I'm sure, at home, and some at school, and his little mind broadened. And he was able to do that. Somebody said, well, I don't think that's very much. Well, we'll get you to do it sometimes. All right, can we sing together again? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. The altars are open. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, spirit, sweep over my soul. So, can you sing that with me? All right, banker, my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. Wild, stormy deep, but in Jesus'
I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee, and I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. Come back to your heart once again, so let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause. On that eternal day, so listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Who Jesus is. He is the lily of my valley, and he my bright morning star. When he is the fairest of 10,000, everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell.
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 Let's sing this little chorus together. Let's sing Sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. Much fairer, you're fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. Precious, more precious than gold. Sing it again. Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are
more precious than gold.
I don't need no gold or silver, and I don't need no diamond ring. All I need is the love of Jesus for to me. He's everything. So I don't want your gold and silver, and I don't want your pearly faith. All I want is the love of Jesus for me. He's everything. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control, and shed the sun for the sunshine. I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Let's sing this little chorus. We're going to let you go in just a few minutes. And he was here all the time, and he was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. Jesus was here. Something. He was here all the time. He was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. But he was here all the time. You know what? I say this a lot of times. We're ambitious people. We have to do things. It seems like we're doing things all the time. We never stop doing things, thinking things, always planning things, eating, buying, spending. It seems like we do that all the time. And the Lord, he's got his hands outstretched, trying to get to us and trying to help us, trying to get us out of our problems, trying to get us to listen, trying to catch our attention. And we still go carelessly on. We still go right on. You know, the Bible said you can warn the fool, but he'll go on till the dart strikes through the liver. One, you can rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. Rebuke a fool, you get yourself a block. You can teach a wise man and he'll grow wiser. And God, he tries to reach us, standing right close to us. And we think, God isn't anywhere around. He doesn't care for me. He don't hear my prayers. I don't know where God is. They said, where is this man Moses? We don't know about this man Moses. But he was nearby. And see, God is there all the time. He's standing right there with you. And like the songwriter said, he's been there all the time. He was there all the time. He was waiting until you could get all these things out of your system, all these things out of your mind, do all the things you wanted to. And then when you grow weary of the things of the world, he stands close by. And when you despair, he just holds out his nail-riven hands and he says, I've been here all the time. Brother Taylor sings the song we wrote, he's here, he's here, he's been here all the time. See, he's here, he's everywhere. Paul said, above you, in you, through you, God. And he's been here all the time. Can you sing that with me again? And he was here for all the time. He was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here. Can you sing it just one more time? Remember, he's here now. Two or three in my name, I'm in the mess. So he is here all the time. He is here all the time, waiting patiently here all the time. Let's just lift our hands up, close our eyes. I'm going to sing this song while you're standing with your eyes closed. I believe the end of the world is here. And now that you're becoming aware of the fact that God's kingdom is here, then we know that something is happening. Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The law and the prophets till John, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, and to give unto Christ Jesus all things in heaven and in earth. So, here we are in the fullness of time. The fullness of time. Jesus said that the fullness of time, he lifted his head and he said, it is finished. It is finished. So we're going to sing this song together while we lift our hands and close our eyes. And that is the song we sing so often, time shall be no more. For time ended at Calvary. For everyone that is a believer, they're an eternal. They went away into that wonderful heavenly place, to sit in those heavenly places, to be hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring of all things, that great millennium age, to rest in paradise with our heavenly Savior, to overcome sin and the tempter. The body is now dead and silent. And though Satan tries to probe at it to trample down the mind of humanity, it's still a true fact that the body is dead and buried. It's buried. Don't let it give you problems. Just believe. Don't listen to those thoughts. Cast every thought down. They're dead. That's Satan. You're now in the spirit. You're not in the flesh. So don't listen to the things of the flesh. Continual warfare between the body and the spirit. Paul said, in the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Satan in the flesh is always trying to take your spiritual man into captivity by using the human senses of the flesh to which this creature is subject. But the creature will be changed. It's the purchased possession. The price has already been paid. God's fixed it so that you can't sin against him with all of those evil things where Satan tries to attack you. So then you're free from the body of that death. It's gone. It's buried. So rejoice in the Lord. Love the Lord. He loves you. You're precious to him. Every one of you are so dear to him. Why, you don't know how dear you are to him. Satan keeps your mind so trampled down that you think he's angry with you all the time when he's never angry with you. He's angry with the wicked every day, but you're not the wicked, you're the born again. He's never angry with you. He never finds any fault against you. Nobody can lay anything to your charge. He's justified and perfected you forever. There's no blemish, no spot, no wrinkle. Satan never touches you. So don't be remorse. Don't be cast down. Be strong. Be powerful. Be of a good faith. God said to Joshua, be strong. Go do my work. Folks, step out there and tell the people what it's about. Step out there and tell them of their deliverance and reach out and get those poor, miserable, fearing, tormented, tortured, depleted souls. Do that. I remember seeing the vision where this great hand went out from me. My, it was such a great hand. There's people just going up and down the road, so much traffic. And it reached out along this big sidewalk, reached out and just, I saw little heads walking around. Heads with little feet on them, and an arm walking around. And they were creatures. They were freaks. Freaks. And this hand went out and just got a great group of them and pulled them over to where I was. And we began to toot them and talk with them. And lo and behold, as it was with Ezekiel, when the sinew came upon the bones and those bones began to live again, all of a sudden these people that had been freaks began to be made whole. And I looked and they were fine, outstanding in appearance, women and men made completely whole. You've been made whole, folks. God has made you whole. You know the way. You know what it's all about. You understand fully what I'm saying. And these other people need your help. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to tell them the glad tidings of great joy. Someone was raised again for our justification, thus are we justified. We now have peace from our Heavenly Father, justified by faith, that we might have peace with our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with our Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Goodwill. He always has a goodwill towards you. Even when you're stumbling, staggering, crying, can't get yourself together and you think he's all against you, he's standing there with tender hands outstretched, the same yesterday, today, and forever, saying, you're so precious to me. Don't think like that. Don't be afraid. Jesus said, don't fear. Even if your loved ones said, don't run from me. Don't hide yourself from me. He said, don't do that. Don't think like that. I love you. I know my thoughts towards you. He said, they're good. They're not like those thoughts of evil, Satan, the accuser of the brethren. Let him be cast out. Let him be gone. Let him be destroyed. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world, even Satan in the world, Lucifer, the god of this world, that savors the things that be of the flesh. Don't let the love of the world be in you. If the love of the world's in you, just make provisions for the flesh, and it just wars the more against the security of your soul. So we're going to sing this together while you've got your hands up now. Ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, the Bible says, because that was the fullness of time. Now that you've recognized the fullness of time, you know that what I'm telling you is true. And even the signs of the times show it. The signs of time. Ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. But do not be discouraged, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you, for it is no secret what God can do. All right, let's sing this other song. For time shall be no more. Shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, then time shall be no more. Sing that with me now. Run. Time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Oh, the angel, he stands on the sea. Then time shall. sing it just once again now. For time shall be no more. It is finished. Time shall be no more. Time shall be no more. And the Bible said in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mysteries of God shall be finished, and time would be no more. Jesus said, it is finished. For in the fullness of time, in the fullness of time, the finishing of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. So folks, you're redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by grace divine, the law and the prophets till John. Now is the kingdom of God. I'm redeemed. I'm in the kingdom, and the kingdom's within me. And to abide in the word, and the word in me, ask what I will, and it'll be done unto me. Decree a thing in my heart, it'll come to pass. Say what I will. Don't doubt, and I'll have what is I say. To pray, believe that I have it, I shall receive it. So then the fullness of time, the kingdom of God is here. And we're beginning to understand now. Faith is beginning to rise now. That means translation is at hand as to the change of the creature. To be indoctrinated, to know. The world doesn't understand, but you understand. If thou canst believe, Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. While you've got your heads bowed, your hands lifted up, such a wonderful hour that we're living in. I'm going to ask Brother Richard Donalds to come, if he will, and pray the closing prayer. Oh, I can feel his heavenly presence. I can feel his spirit so rich, so deep down in my heart. Do you record that wonderful verbal inspiration of care, all because you believe in his mercy? That's all it takes. And when you believe in his mercy, then he abundantly comes, because he's the Prince of Life, and he wants you to have life more abundantly, the word meaning filled up and overflowing. I'm come for that purpose, Jesus said. Little folks at Bethlehem, little Bethlehem, Bethlehem, though thou art small, yet thou art not least among the cities of Judah. For out of thee shall come forth a governor that shall govern my people. The Bible said the government is upon your shoulders. And so then the time, as to 430 years, and the iniquity was full, and God sent forth a deliverer. And you're God's deliverer. He wants to send you forth. The time is at hand. He wants to send you forth. You're his body, bone, spirit, his flesh, body in particular. And he wants to send you forth. You're his deliverer. To go into all the world. What I say to one, I say to all, he said. So then, as you feel his wonderful strength, his wonderful power, you can feel evil spirits backing away, because you feel that melodious presence of Almighty God. That rich, rich, ripened feeling. All right. The songwriter said, go forth, you reapers, and reap today. Let's bow our heads and lift our hands up as our brother comes to pray with us. Brother Richard.